Welcome to Area Matters, news and comment from a white racialist viewpoint. This is an extended version of our program. My name is James Hawthorne, and in the studio with me this evening is a gentleman by the name of Lee Gardner.
How you doing, James?
Doing very well, Lee. We have to do a couple of housekeeping items because apparently I boo-booed on something on one of our previous shows. I mentioned that David Irving had a warrant for his arrest in Austria from 1979. I was correct and not correct. I was 10 years out. It was 1989, in fact, not 1979. So I just want to correct that, and you know, we have to keep our facts straight and truthful.
Yes.
And also, I just want to get your opinion on the GM discussion that we had in our last air program concerning globalization, the evils of globalization, and GM workers, 30,000 GM workers have been laid off for good. And apparently in the news this week that General Motors have decided to transplant all these 30,000 white, for the most part, American jobs into three areas of the subcontinent of India.
What do you think
about that?
I can't believe it. It's exactly what we've been saying. Those jobs leave the country, right? Whatever the country is, if you're for free trade, if you're for this globalization crap, that means your job is going to go to the lowest wage worker, the lowest bidder, you know, the cheapest labor. So it's going to go out of the first world and into the third world, and then eventually the first world will become the third world, because again, the only way you can compete is to say, I will work for that lower wage.
I think if you remember, I don't think we were on air at the time, but I think you remember me telling you, I bet you any money that these jobs go to India. And but it was done in a sort of a joke,
yeah,
sort of way.
Yeah.
Sure enough, I'm reading
I'm
reading the newspaper in the week, and three areas of the subcontinent of India have been cited by GM.
Yeah.
All these jobs.
And along the same lines, I just read that in the U.S. that Ford is planning on closing 4 to 5 plants.
I'll give it a guess where they're going. China.
Yeah.
I think Ford's going to China. It's absolutely disgraceful.
It's sickening. Again, this shows that our government does not care about its people. Our government everywhere, it doesn't matter where you are, the UK, in the United States, it doesn't matter. The government should be looking out for its people. And America is supposed to be a European continent. That's what it is supposed to be. And those are the people, European Americans, white people, Aryan people, Caucasian people, whatever you want to call them. That's what our government should be looking out for.
Yeah, and all these jobs are getting shipped off to China and India. As I said in one program about middle America and the two-car garage, nice house, kids in school. I think the Aryan rebellion will only come when those people in middle America start to get really hurt themselves, you know?
Yeah, well, it's either one of two things. White Aryan people will wake up, as we call it, to what is going on, and that this is a racial conflict, it's a racial war. All throughout history, everything has been racial wars. But there's only two ways people are going to wake. One is that a crisis will happen, and they will be thrown out on the streets, or they will not be able to afford what they want to buy, and then they'll say, what the hell is wrong here? Something's wrong here. They've got an economic crisis. And they're basically, their economic life turns into the third world. That's one way. And the other way, that they'll awake, because then they'll say, there's something wrong, what the hell is wrong? They'll start asking questions. And we like that. We want people to ask questions, because we know where the answers are. We know what the truth is, and we know where the answers are. And the other way that they'll wake up is by being woken up, which is by us, which is by what we try to do on this broadcast, is to increase media to reach our people. So either we've got to reach them with a message, and basically that's going to take mass media and bombarding them and being in their face, which is something we can't do now, which is, you know, we can't have a radio show in a major city somewhere, like on an AM or FM station, a radio talk show like that, or we can't have our own cable broadcasting channel or satellite, you know, network actually to reach our people. We can't do that now. that is the other method of which they can awake. So it's really one of two things. Either disaster hits, or we reach them before the disaster hits by increasing our media.
Mm-hmm. I could just imagine the if we launched a satellite into orbit and we became 24/7.
Oh.
Do you know what the Jews would call it? They would call it the HS.
Oh.
The hate satellite.
That's right.
And that's a good segue to my first story on this program, which I saw in the American Conservative. And we'll put this on our mentionables list. It's called National Suicide by James Pinkerton. He's a writer for the American Conservative. And this was a book that I read when I first got involved in the racial cause. It was Camp of the Saints by Jean Raspail. Now this book apparently is banned in France. He's a Frenchman, and the book is banned in France. It's quite a long article. I've just picked out the highlights of this article, but I urge everyone to sit down and read it and digest this article, because it's very, very good. In the Camp of the Saints, Raspail provided his answer. Those who welcomed large quantities of immigrants, he jibed, were righteous, loathing of everything and everything that smacked of present day Western societies, and boundless in their love of whatever might destroy it, meaning white Aryan people are so full of love. We are a caring people. Other races will take advantage of that.
Oh yeah.
And it's happening. The lower races, the sub people, are taking advantage of us Aryans, and our people sit back and they take it. That's why the Jews come after us, because we're the lightning rod for the white people to say, stop sitting down like a mug, man, and get up and fight back.
Yep.
The article goes on to say, France is persuaded that these people are a million Christs coming into Europe, and it will signal the dawn of a just new day. And in other words, it just means that the French as a population, and this is coming from a Frenchman, the French are lacking in a proper sense of national racial consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when have you heard that before? In all our Aryan lands, Aryan people do not have a racial consciousness.
Nope.
In the article goes on, the Jew, Susan Sontag, had warned the right race is the cancer of human history.
Mm-hmm.
There you go, a Jew coming out and saying that, believe
yeah,
it or not.
I heard that before.
The winning of the North through the immigration invasion, has been the ultimate goal. The author goes on to say about Vicente Fox, saying that the slow motion demographic crusade to recover much of America from Mexico is part of what Fox says his reconquista of the American land.
Yeah.
The irony of France's situation today, as immigrants and the children of immigrants commit exactly the kind of mayhem that Raspail warned in the late 1970s.
Mm.
He predicted this in the early 1970s when this book first came out. As they say in the old South, the chickens are coming home to roost. Just to end it real briefly, Pinkerton says at the end of the article, this should serve as a reminder to us all, while a few in the West have been sounding the alarm, us, against the foreign invasion for many years now, many in the East have been sounding a clarion call of their own, and they are coming to conquer us.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if anyone who's involved in this white nationalist struggle has not read The Camp of the Saints, I urge you, I plead with you, to buy this book. You got to read it. It has a really bad ending. If the ending really doesn't piss you off, then you shouldn't be in our movement. But if it does piss you off, it should energize you to get out from behind the keyboard, for instance, or whatever you're doing. It should energize you to go out there to, one, join a white nationalist organization. We don't care which one it is. Energize you to go out there and put thousands of flyers or leaflets out. Energize you to go out there to push your organization's newspapers or magazines. But the main thing, the book should energize you to get out on the streets and fight for our people.
See, the problem that most Americans have, even though that book is not about the Mexican invasion,
it's
right?
It's a fictional... Well, the good thing about the book is it's a fictional book, and it could be about the Mexican invasion.
Okay.
The book itself is about a fictional invasion of Europe by people from the Third World. But then now, in the year 2005, you go, guess what? It's happening. There is a Third World invasion of Europe. Yeah. Happening right now.
And it's the same thing in the United States and Mexico.
All you have to change in this book is for the immigrants, just change it from Indians or the subcontinent to Mexico.
Right.
And it would fit in like a jigsaw puzzle.
Right. And as that guy, what's his name? Glenn Spencer, I believe his name was, in The Line in the Sand, that excellent DVD by October Sun Films. What he said in there is, What do you have to have a state of war going on? And this immigration invasion, right, they're basically invading us. The fact that they haven't started shooting yet, you know, well, and actually they have, you know, when they're in the cities and they commit crimes and everything else. But the fact that that when they're coming over, they don't have to shoot at Border Patrol to get in, does that mean we're not at war? It doesn't. We are at war, and it is a silent war. Their immigration is the invasion. You know, in any other ordinary circumstance in the past, you know where your borders are, and if somebody, hundreds of people from the other nation, especially the Third World, start running in, which is a completely different skin color, you know they're invading you. You just start shooting at them. But in this case, we don't. And what Jean Rospel said in his book, that white people are very tolerant, very giving, very caring about their fellow man, and even about people who aren't in their fellow man, even about people who have no relations to them whatsoever. And that is, again, that's the weakness of our race. Well, it's not a weakness if we recognize that fact and we tell everybody, don't be taken in.
Well, a lot of people are sitting back, being nice and cuddly with everybody. The non-white immigrants from the Third World are invading our lands, and they're not coming here to shake hands and say, how do you do? It says they are coming here to conquer the West,
yeah,
to take the North land from the North man.
Yeah.
And at the moment, the white people are letting that happen.
Yeah.
And it's a great book, though. It's a clarion call for white racial consciousness. It's a clarion call for Aryan people to stand up and say, no, we're not going to have our culture, we're not going to have our Western civilization, and we're not going to have our ideals destroyed by these people.
Yeah.
At the moment, we are the whisperer in the wind at the moment.
And again, the mass media still plays a big role in this, which is, of course, a negative role. The Jewish mass media that pushes all these beautiful white women on advertising, you know, fashion models, you know, Playboy, Swedish bikini teen, all these things in the commercials. What do these non-whites see? When they see that, what do they want? That's what they want then, right? They want to get close to those beautiful white women that are in the advertising and the commercials and all that stuff. That's what they want. So that's another reason that they come into our countries, and it's all because the Jews that are behind it. You know, they push that stuff. They push our white women as sex objects. And obviously, Africans and the Spics and everybody else, they see that and they say, yeah, that looks damn good. It looks better than what I'm looking at here.
Trophy, a white Aryan female to a Third Worlder is a trophy.
Yeah.
Is a token.
Yeah.
The black man, he sees the white girl as a total, it's a piece of his bling, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
That's all they see them as, just an inanimate object to have sex with,
right,
and to show everybody, hey, I've got a piece of the man here. It's disgusting, and it should be stopped, and our people should rise up in mass and say enough's enough.
Yep.
Hopefully we are the small catalyst of that, and
hopefully we're one of the catalysts.
One day
to get that going.
Your story, Lee,
it's titled Europe's Baby Bus Signals Major Change, by David Sands of the Washington Times.
Mm-hmm.
Says, in the cradle of Western civilization, the cradles are empty. from the Atlantic to the Urals, in good and bad economies, in Protestant and Catholic societies, the countries of Europe are witnessing an unprecedented decline in birth rates. By 2025, the ratio of Europeans to everyone else is projected to be less than 1 in 14, 7%. And a little further down in the article, it says, one direct fallout from the demographic slump was on vivid display during the riots that rocked the suburbs of Paris and a string of French cities this month. The rioters were overwhelmingly drawn from the ranks of young, unemployed sons of immigrant families from North and West Africa.
No, I would never have guessed that.
No, of course not. You wouldn't think the Africans would behave that way, the noble and intelligent Africans, no.
Mm-hmm.
And then later on in the article, and this last part I'll read, is it says, the decline of Europe's population is being brought on voluntarily, the result of hundreds of millions of men and women choosing to have fewer children than is needed to ensure population replacement. Of course, this guy is quoting from allegedly an expert, right, which is probably bullshit. The name of this expert is Joseph Chamey from the Washington-based journal The Globalist. Of course, we don't need all these experts. We know why this is happening. We warn about this is happening. We have people on our race for years saying this is what's going to happen. And why is it? It's because we know that there's all these Jewish ideologies pushing us in this direction.
Well, we mentioned that in one of the first Area Matters programs that I witnessed on the Jew Box, that white women were leaving it, were being pushed by Jewish media to be career girls.
Yes.
To be career women.
That's right.
To leave the having children until later on, till you got your career going. That was all being pushed by the Jewish media.
Right.
And here we have a situation now, and 2050 seems to be the top-off point where white people become a minority in all Aryan lands. And the Jewish media were pushing these girls to be, no, don't have a family, leave that, you can always have a family later on, but career comes first, you know.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying, the...
Again, that's a Jewish feminist ideology that pushes that, and that's why you're going to have all these girls, females that are brought up to believe that the white male is the problem. The white male has caused all these horrible things, and the white male has also oppressed the female and made her stay at home with kids when what she really wants is to go to college and have a career and, like you said, have kids later. But what happens is after they get a certain age, guess what? They're not attractive anymore. Right, but just by nature, there's a period of years there where they are attractive to males to have babies with.
And nature's kicking in also. I think I mentioned also in a previous show that these women are regretting leaving childbearing that late. They absolutely regret it. And you know what? That's the nature, the biological thing in their system telling them that.
Right.
You can't go against nature. We're National Socialists. We're true naturists.
Right, which is...
Can't go against it.
The whole point of National Socialism, I mean, if you want to sum it up, this is what an SS man told me, they were told, is when they went to their school of training, their SS school, there's two of them, when they went there to the training school, the teacher, one of the instructors, asked them, what do you think National Socialism means? All these different people said all these different things, right? Someone said, well, we're anti-communist. Another one says we're anti-Jewish. Another one says this or that. And he said, no, what it means is understand the laws of nature and obey them. That's it. That's all National Socialism means. And if you understand that, that's when all the other things make perfect sense. Why are we anti-communist? Why are we anti-Jewish? You know, all this stuff makes sense and fits into place, and you understand it. And, again, you know how to run your life. National Socialism is a way of life, and it's not a philosophy or a political party or anything like that. It is a way of life. And getting back to this article, it mentions in here, again, this is the Washington Times, it mentions that the European population is a little more than 10% of the world. And this is what we brought up before, and some people like to dispute that and say, well, that's not true, there's more of us. Bullshit. What happens is they count other people who aren't whites as whites. They count Jews as whites. They count a lot of Spanish, you know, Hispanics, mestizos as whites, and they're not. And they're, you know, they're mixed Indians, they're hybrids. And again, this says 10% now, a little over 10% now. By 2025, 7%. That's 3% in 20 years from now. 3% in another 20 years is what? 2045 is 4%.
Mm-hmm.
So you're talking about we're only going to be about 4%, you know, by the middle of this century. Of the world we're talking about here. Of the entire world. And what's helped that? We have done stupid stuff, and Dr. Pierce has mentioned this in many of his broadcasts before. We give Africa all kinds of medical support, you know, help them rid themselves of diseases, give them all kinds of food when they're starving because they're so fucking stupid. They're out in the desert. They can't survive. You know, they can't live. They can't eat. So they die, or they're starting to die, and we go out there and bail them out. Well, what happened to this whole idea of survival of the fittest? If you can't survive, maybe nature didn't intend you to. Why did nature wipe out a lot of species of animals? You know, the dinosaurs and everything. Why did all these species stop living? Is because they couldn't hack it themselves. No one was going out there and actually helping them. So if we go help them, we are going against nature. And what's going to happen is, it's going to be bad for us. It's going to be, nature's going to get its payback one way or the other, right? You can't, like they say, you can't fool Mother Nature.
Africa has become the codependent of the West.
Yeah.
Of the West, i.e. West Aryan, quote unquote.
Yeah.
Africa has become the codependent of
yeah,
the West.
Like that old thing, white man's burden, mm-hmm. right? The white man's burden is now Africa entirely. And I guess what else we're adopting? We're adopting India and other places like that too.
I mean, Africa was okay when the white people in Rhodesia and South Africa were in charge. Africa was being fed. Africa was being fed. Now, the people in charge of our governments turned tail on the Rhodesian white people and the South African white people and said, "No, no, you're evil racialists. Evil racists. This can't be done. No, no. You have to let the black people have self-determination and independence." Okay, so under also Jewish pressure, that happened, and Rhodesia was given to the maniac Robert Mugabe, borderline savage, yeah. Or could be an utter savage. I think he's an utter savage. And the African National Congress in South Africa under the terrorists, but white people are being murdered there. And Africa now is starving, you know. It's just the whole continent is starving. And we shouldn't, we should not have to bail these people out. They are the white man's burden, you're quite correct. White man's burden. Another point about the low birth rate and the Patrick Buchanan says the death of the West. If you turn on the television, and if you're new to Area Matters, this could be your homework. Turn on the television and see, and have a pad and pen handy to jot down what you see. But if you turn on the television, you will see, for the most part, strong buck niggers. You will see strong buck blacks. And you'll see wimpy, faggoty white men in this. So women are watching these programs, and the Jews are telling them that they should have children at a later age. So they go and watch television, and the Jews are pumping this stuff about the buck niggers being prime meat, for want of a better word. And guess what's happening? Our white Aryan women are going with these buck niggers. It's simple as that. It's brainwashing, but it works.
Yeah, well, it's not brainwashing as much as it is
suggestion.
And what Dr. Pierce said is right when he said what our women want to do is they want to be trendy. They want to be fashionable. So if they think that's what everybody's doing, that's what all the white girls are doing, then they got to do it too, because then they're trendy and fashionable. And it is brainwashing, I guess.
Psychological suggestion.
It is, because it steers them to go in the direction they want, which is not the natural direction. First off, we have this problem because these niggers are here. That's the problem number one. Why are they here? Why are they in our society? That's a problem. Now, but,
because they can't survive in their own flipping society. That's why they're over here in Aryan society, because these apes can't survive.
Well, they can't survive, but we let them in, too, right? So that's the question, is why the fuck did we let them in here? Well, a lot of this because of our traitors, politicians, because the Jews say, well, you can't be racist, you can't do that. So that's the problem number one. And then even when they're here, it's like, well, why the fuck are our women going to them? Well, we know they're fucking vicious, stupid, ugly, you know, people. It's like you said, it's because the media is showing that. That's why they go. So we got a couple of problems here compounded into the problem of, again, adding into the lower birth rate, which we know, again, why these problems are. We understand why it all is. And if for us to go, hey, I don't like these fucking niggers dating my women, you can't do that, because what does that mean? That means you're a racist, you're a hater, you're a neo-Nazi. Well, guess what? If you don't do that, if you don't speak out, you're going to fucking die. Mm. Your family is going to not exist.
Because you can't turn on a television show right now and you have a black president, now you got a woman president, and now there's everything I have witnessed watching television is that the black man, the book nigger, is portrayed as a solid, intelligent, unassuming individual.
Enlightened. Fair.
The whole, everything he can think of.
It's absolutely false, right?
White women see that on television and go, ooh, well, you know.
In real life, it is not.
Not
that
like
at
that.
All.
Not like
I
that.
I mean, in real life, you know what they're like.
You ask a race traitorous white woman who went with a nigger what the relationship ended up like, and then the relationship ended up like this: the nigger beating the shit out of her.
Right.
That's what happens.
Yeah.
You know, so I need to calm down. is it my next story? Speaking of violence, one of the most violent prone areas of the world was Northern Ireland. The battle between two white people, the Catholics and the Protestants in Northern Ireland. This is such a travesty of a war. It brings tears to my eyes, actually, because to see two great people, two Aryan people, fighting each other because of their religion, so-called Catholics with the IRA and the Protestant, the Loyalists, of the various Ulster organizations. Now, people in America don't really know the true situation of Northern Ireland. I was perusing the internet and came across this story, which I think will best sum up the situation in Northern Ireland to people in America, and they need to hear this. When the South rose up against the British, with you can rent this great DVD, Michael Collins. It's a great movie. That's when the Irish Republican Army was a true nationalist organization. They were there to kick out the British us from the north. Okay, that's a fair comment, you know. As the troubles have moved on in Northern Ireland, when the war started again in the 1970s, it was instigated by the Provisional IRA, which at that time was a utter Marxist organization. It still is a Marxist organization, but they've softened their tone now because they're in government and they've been recognized by the traitorous British government, and now they will probably call themselves Marxian socialists. Mm. Not full-blown Marxists, but They're still full-blown Marxists. They've just softened their edges a bit, you know, as they've moved towards and gained power. I went onto the Sinn Féin website and came across this. And this was a briefing paper. It was put out last year. It's called Diversity Matters. This was put out by a Mrs. Duggan. I welcome the publication of this paper, which highlights the problem of hate crimes in Ireland. Mm. We believe Ireland should be an inclusive and diverse society in which people want to work and live. Sinn Féin condemns crimes committed against people on the grounds of race, religion, sexual orientation, or because they have a disability, and we support the introduction of such legislation to protect particular individuals and groups. We hope that such measures will deter those who carry out such activities and make Ireland a better place for us all to live. Now, if you can digest those words a second and look at that, for 30 years, Catholics and Protestants have been shooting and killing each other, bombing each other, kneecapping each other, killing white women, children, young men. For 30 years, white Catholics have been killing white Protestants. Here we have the nationalist quote-unquote Sinn Féin, which is not a nationalist organization. And I want to emphasize that to our American listeners here. It's a Marxian socialist political party whose military wing was the Provisional IRA. For the most part, both organizations are, for want of a better word, Marxist communist organizations. But as I said before, they've softened their edges because they've been recognized by the British government and the Irish government too. They have gained power in the north, starting to put up candidates and win elections in the south. The main point here is these people have spent 30 years fighting each other and killing each other over a landmass. Here's Sinn Féin coming out right now, and this also applies to the loyalist side too. The Ulster loyalists are also guilty of this, and the paramilitaries too. They will sit back and they will let the third world invade. They will coalesce around diversity. I shake my head and go, two white communities, four for 30 years, killing each other. 3,000 people died over those 30 years. Yet they will both organize, both sides, the so-called Republicans, which is Sinn Féin, and the so-called loyalists of the numerous loyalist organizations. The one thing they have now in common is diversity. And you believe that?
And it's non-white.
And it's non-white diversity. To the one of the most cultured Celtic lands in the whole of Europe.
Yeah.
These two groups who fought each other for 30 years, killed each other, are now coming together under the wonderful slogan of diversity, and are going to allow the third world filth to invade Ireland.
Yeah.
Talk about the Alice in Wonderland theory. Yeah. as we go on here.
Yeah.
Can you explain that one to me?
Yeah, you know why that is?
Why that is?
That is the real brainwashing right there. That's the real brainwashing programming that these school children, I'm sure, they're brought up the same way that I was in the States, which is the worst thing you could ever be is a racist. That's the worst thing you could be. Because if you're a racist, because the Germans, what the Germans did was they persecuted Jews for their religion. And the Americans, what the Americans did is they killed all these Indians because they were just Indians, because they had dark skin, and they enslaved all the Negroes from Africa. that's what they've been told. So they've been programmed to believe being anti and non-white is the worst thing you can be. That's why it is. Even though they can sit there and fight their white racial brother, this is one thing they won't do. It's in their head now. It's stuck in their mind. It's a mental block. You know, your beliefs are gonna affect what you actually do, physically do. So it's this mental block here. They can't do it, because if they do, then they're, oh my God, they're evil, hated, racist Nazis. Mm-hmm. They can never be that.
The land, the north of Ireland, Ulster, and the south of Ireland, Erie, are being invaded. And these two groups, your Republican so-called nationalist, unquote, unquote, and your loyalists, unquote, unquote, from the north, they're both going to allow the invasion of the north of Ireland and the south of Ireland.
Yeah.
They're both coalescing around diversity.
They're fucking traitors, right?
They are traitors to the race.
Yeah,
they are traitors to the race.
And what will happen is, you get these. Was this written by a woman? Did you say it was written by a woman?
It's a briefing paper that was put out by Sinn Féin.
But was there a woman that said
Mrs.
that,
Dugan? Yeah.
Okay. See, what will happen is, women who are so much more even tolerant than males are, right, of our race, we're white males are tolerant, right, and like you said, we're very caring and give people the benefit of the doubt and all that. Our women are even more so, right, because they have to take care of children, so they're more caring, it's all emotional. They're the first ones to say, let's do all this stuff. Let's bring all the non-whites in.
Mm-hmm.
And what will happen is, it's okay because there's few of them. But guaranteed, what will happen is, what happens when there's over half of them are all fucking black in your town? What happens? You get chaos. You get crime goes up. It always starts small. And it's always like, let's let everybody in. Everybody's fine. Everybody's okay. Everybody's equal. But that's not the truth. So it'll eventually turn into disaster. It's the same thing. I saw this in corporate America. When women are in charge of whatever title of the office is, whatever you want to call it, it's called either human resources or personnel.
It used to be called personnel.
The hiring people.
But then they change it to human resources.
They are fucking overboard into this. We got to have diversity. There's nothing wrong if you're a Negro and you have a degree. You're just as good as a white person that has a degree, which is total bullshit.
People who work with Negroes in corporate America know that, you know, they know the true nature of the Negro if you work with them. I used to know a good friend, and he used to work with Negroes, and they, for the most part, were playing around on the internet, or at work,
yeah.
They were lazy. The whole racist attitude of the feckless Negro is true.
Yeah, yeah, it is. And I could tell you, they are racist. At a place that I had worked in before, I noticed that this guy that had just came to our group, which is, you know, was a Negro, when we were walking down the hallway, he would not acknowledge anybody, but when a black person came by, they would acknowledge each other. And I asked him.
That's a group thing.
And I asked him. I said, do you know that person? No, he didn't know. And so I was thinking, you know, I don't do what he did. I don't acknowledge every white person. Hey, how you doing, man? That's what he does. Every single black.
Blacks do, yeah.
Right. So again, they have, like you mentioned before, that group racial identity. They have a racial consciousness. And what happens to us? What has happened to us? Is the Jews have stolen that from us.
Mm-hmm.
By this whole thing about self-esteem, we white people have no self-esteem. How could you have self-esteem if every year when you're growing up, they're teaching you in school, of course your parents usually don't teach you this, it comes into these public schools, that they'll say your grandparents or your great-great-grandparents, your ancestors were all evil. They enslaved the Africans. They stole the land from the Mexicans, right? If you're talking about what's going on now, right, with the Mexican invasion over there in the States. That is what they've been told, and you really, if you're sitting there, you go, you know, as a white person, you feel guilty, you feel ashamed. All of a sudden, you're uprooted because you have nothing to go back and say, you know what? I'm proud of my ancestry. You can't, if you can't do that, you have no connection. You have no ties. You've been, all your self-esteem is gone now with that.
Do you know one Aryan people that had self-esteem, but they needed an organization to give them back their self-esteem from a Jew? And the organization was the National Socialist Party in Germany. That gave Aryan people in Germany
yep.
their self-esteem back.
Yep. And there's that goes to the heart of one of these reasons that they had those big rallies every year. They had huge rallies every year. Right? Everybody's familiar with the most famous one, which is the Leni Riefenstahl film, Triumph of the Will.
That was the 1934 Congress.
Right. Each one of those was named a different name. But the thing about that, it had to be the biggest celebration that they could possibly do. And it was better than going to the circus, better than going to church, right? It was better than going to that because the reason that would do is exactly what we're talking about. That would bring pride back to the people. It was a strengthening
mm-hmm.
point. It wasn't false propaganda. It wasn't a lie about anything. It was to bring unity, to bring pride. And again, it wasn't against anti-other races. It's like, let's get together here and enjoy
as a race
what we've done. Yeah, what
yeah.
we've done over the past year. Every year they would do that. And again, it was the biggest thing because you have to have a solid foundation, right? You can't go through life without having a solid foundation in anything. It doesn't matter what it is, what subject you're learning or anything like that. And if you talk about racial, what is your racial foundation? Well, people don't even like to think about that. They don't, you know, in America and the UK now and everywhere else, you can't think about, well, what is my racial foundation? Okay, well, that's my family. All right, where's my family from? Here are my roots. What are my ancestors? What did they do? That's my foundation. That's my racial foundation here. And I want to marry somebody and have kids with somebody who has a similar or even better even. That'd be even better if their roots are even better than mine. You can't do that because why? Because you're racist and you cannot be racist.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we've been brainwashed and programmed to be. Because if we are racist, we'll fight back against the Jew who is destroying us.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they have done this to us.
And if we have any new listeners to Aryan Matters, if you found us on our new podcast, I urge you to go buy the DVD, Triumph of the Will. That's the 1934 Congress of the National Socialist Party of Germany in that time. It's a great, great movie. It won awards when it came out in 1934. It's still relevant today. The speeches that were made are still relevant today. And if you're new to this movement, I urge you to get that DVD, Triumph of the Will. Do you want to do your story? Your last one? I just want to reemphasize with this Northern Ireland thing with everybody that two white communities killed each other for 30 years, 3,000 died, and both leaders of these communities are now going to allow the third world filth into the great Celtic Island of Ireland. Now, I understand and I support the self-determination of the loyalist people of the North and their loyalty to Great Britain. I understand that totally. I understand the South of Ireland and their self-determination for an island of Irish people. I understand both sides. Myself, I am a Catholic. But above all, I'm a white man, I'm an Aryan, and I see what's going on in the island of Ireland, north and south. Your leaders have let you down,
yep.
And the country's being invaded by the third world filth. A black man in a kilt is not a Scotsman.
No. Nope.
It's a black man in a kilt.
That's right. It's an African. Negro.
I was up in Glasgow recently on business, and I got lost, to tell you truthfully. I got lost. And I'm... surprise, surprise. And I'm looking round to find someone who I could ask. And I saw this thing walking by me. And it was a nigger. So, but there was no one round. So I asked this coon where I needed to go. If he knew this certain street. You know. And what shocked me was that this thing with two legs, this simian, this ape, nigger, whatever you want to call him, spoke to me with a Scottish accent. And it was like I stepped back away and reflected on his reaction to me, and he spoke in a Scottish accent, and that's what's going on.
Yeah.
In our Aryan lands, our Celtic lands, the invaders are coming in, but they're not only coming in, they're assuming our white women, our culture, our nations, our laws, everything, but also our freaking accents.
Yeah.
It just, to use an old English saying, it busts my chops. It really does. And your next story, Lee?
And my story is from the Chicago Tribune. And the title of it is White Flight in the Wrong Direction. And it's by this guy named Leonard Pitts. And here's what it says. It says, reporter Xuan Huang.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
That's a name.
Interviewed white parents. This is in California. Who are pulling their kids out of elite public high schools. Schools known for sending graduates to the nation's top colleges. They are doing this, writes Huang, because the schools are too academically rigorous, too narrowly focused on subjects like math and science, too Asian.
Hmm.
And then a little further down says, at Monta Vista High in Cupertino, white students now make up less than a third of the population.
Mm.
And then a little later down it says, one white woman told Huang how she dissuaded a young white couple from moving to town, telling them their child might be the only Caucasian kid in the class. Another said, it does help to have a lower Asian population. Further down, the writer of this article, Leonard Pitts, is an example of how white males, I'm assuming Leonard Pitts, that's a typical, you know, British name, Pitts is, I'm assuming that this guy is just a regular white guy. He says, I have no idea why Asian kids tend to lap the field academically speaking. I do know it has nothing to do with the simple fact of being Asian any more than the fact of being black makes you a great basketball player. Wrong. Again, that's typical, yep. Right? They think, well, it can't have anything to do with race. I don't understand it. I don't understand why these Asians are excelling here and why, you know, black kids do great basketball. I don't understand it, but it can't have anything to do with the fact that they're black or Asian.
Yep.
And then later on down in the article, it says, it occurs to me that this is the fruit of our dumbing down education in the name of self-esteem. This is what we get for making the work easier instead of demanding the students work harder and the parents be more involved. So they're trying to say in this article, this guy is trying to say, that the reasons that the white parents don't want their kids going to these schools, which are predominantly Asians, which are supposed to be elite schools, which lead to higher universities, is because they don't want their kids to be subjected to the rigorous education that it takes. It's so hard, it's so difficult for these white students to compete with these Asian students in math and science that's why they're taking them out. Of course, which it's not that. The math and the science that the Asians are studying were created by who?
White people.
White people in the first damn place, right? So it's and all the inventions and everything that have come out, you know, and all the greatest inventors, everybody knows they've been white people. Isaac Newton and everyone else. Again, I think what it is if you've been around Asian kids, they are very competitive and they want to compete, but they cheat. They cheat, they lie, they do that to get ahead. They don't have any scruples. American kids are typically raised in a Christian fashion. And the Christian fashion is do not lie, steal, all that stuff. And it tends to be, for me, it tends to be that the more educated or the more intelligent a white kid is, the more likely they are going to oppose stealing, cheating, lying, all this. And again, why would you want to be with all these Asian kids? It's a terrible, horrible feeling. And I bet you a lot of these kids would go home and complain and say, you know, this is terrible. This school, I can't stand being around all these Asians. So the students complain. So that's a reason that parents would take their kids out and send them to a private school with less Asians in it.
But didn't you have an experience when you were in junior school over the racial situation?
Yeah.
I had several
experiences in my travels, because my dad moved around a lot, and so I went to all these different schools. And the worst time ever was in El Paso, and I think I mentioned that before in another podcast, where the school was 90% Mexican, and it was horrible. And
how many white kids in that school?
Excuse me?
How many white kids in that school?
Well, I said it was 90% Mexican.
Mexican, yeah.
Then 10% were white.
Wow.
You know, and there was a few blacks mixed in. But the problem was, you know, a friend of mine, years later, when I saw a friend of mine that went to the same school, I said, I had forgotten this, but when I went to school the first day and came home, my mother said that I cried and said, they're all Mexican. Right? And I said, I don't remember that. But, you know, of course, I was okay after that. After a while, you just adapt and you get tougher. That's what I had to do. And I told a friend of mine that I had seen that went to that same school. I said, you know, I my mom told me that I cried. And I said, they're all Mexican. The first day of school. And he said, I cried every day. Right? So he was a white kid. And the same thing in another school that I had, which had a large black population. These blacks were so violent. They were fighting everywhere. They were fighting, and not necessarily against white kids. They were fighting each other in the cafeteria, you know, at least once a week, on the basketball courts or wherever. Wherever they were largely congregated, they would fight. Then they would even fight bus drivers. They would fight the school bus drivers. They'd get mad at him, and they didn't like the way he was looking at them, or he told them to sit down or whatever, and they'd fucking fly off the handle. And again, this idiot here, Leonard Pitts, not knowing anything about racial differences, says, well, I have no idea why blacks are better at basketball, but it can't have anything to do with they're black. It's absolutely to do with they're black. They have higher testosterone levels. which makes them stronger and which, unfortunately for them, makes them more prone to aggressiveness and violence. That is just natural tendency of more testosterone. Makes them more muscular. Then you have narrower hips. They have narrower hips, which makes them faster runners. It's like a mechanical thing, where the wider the hips you have, like females have wider hips than males generally. That's why they can't run as fast, is because their legs can't mechanically move their bodies faster. But if your hips narrower, then you can. That's the case with blacks. They have narrower hips. So, you know, for him to say that again, it's just stupidity.
And it's just a small microcosm of your experience in junior school or the schools that you were in. That is a small microcosm of what's going on in our nations and our Aryan nations.
Yes.
You can, what your experience in that school, you can do that on a nationwide thing, and that's what's happened to all our countries.
That's right.
As white people become the minority in our lands, and the immigrants and the non-whites become the majority, they will start, to use a good old American expression, they will start kicking our ass.
Yeah. Yep.
You know what I mean?
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
They will start kicking our ass. Well, as we say in England, they will start kicking our arse. And that's what's happening. As the white Aryan population gets smaller, and the muds, niggers, jigs, books, spooks, the whole lot of them amass around us, like Custer and the Indians.
That's right.
Then get ready, Aryan people, because your time's coming. They won't treat you like we treat them, nice and, you know, as Aryans do. They will kick our ass.
Right. They don't care about our principles of justice and fairness and all that, which, again, it's those things that we created, the things that our ancestors wrote, you know, any kind of thing about in America, the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and this whole idea of fairness to other people and justice, they don't have that. That's the result of our nature. We are naturally feeling that way, and that's why we created it. You know, it's a result of our actual, you know, physical being. That's just the embodiment of what we are. They don't have that. They never had. None of them ever did anything, you know, comparable to it.
And they all stick together. The coons with the coons, chinks with the chinks.
Yeah.
You know, Korean with the Koreans. No matter where you are, these people are, as we've said on Area Matters before, groupized.
But try to be whites with whites to resist the chinks or the niggers, or, you know what I mean? Try to do that, and guess what you are?
Oh, evil.
Evil
racist hater. Nazi hater.
We need these hate laws. Yeah, we need these hate laws because, why? Because we're the ones doing something bad? See, that's the insane thing about it, right? They want hate laws to preclude what? Us from doing something, or it's not that. I mean, the Jews push it.
Yeah, the Jews push it to stop us.
The Jews push it to stop us from retaliating,
mm-hmm.
right? Because we only, just like the Germans did, we don't actually initiate anything that's improper. We're not immoral. We don't go out and beat up somebody or murder somebody just because they're black or just because they're like that. All it is that when we get in a situation where we have to respond, like in Ireland, all these niggers are going to come in there. There's going to be white women, white girls, white daughters raped, gang raped, killed, murdered by these niggers. Then guess what? There's going to be some Irish men waking up and go, motherfuckers, let's kick their ass. Let's go get them. Let's go lynch them. That's when the reaction is. Now, guess what? You're a hater. Not the hate law is going to stop you. You can't even get up and say, let's go get these niggers out of here because they just raped my daughter. You can't do that. You can't even say that now. You cannot defend yourself. That's what these hate laws do.
And that's where if people listen to the show again are new, we urge you to read the works by Kevin MacDonald. One of his great books is The Culture of Critique. That's the key to all this. Why is this happening? What's going on? Why are us Aryans called haters and Nazis and the niggers are good stand up, you know, and Koreans and Asians are good people, but us white people are evil if we stand up for our for our race and our nations. Well, Kevin MacDonald has the key to this. That's the key that goes into the lock, that opens the door, that awakens you. Who's behind it all? It's the Jews!
It shows that the Jews are behind it all, and it's very simple the way it is. It is this thing called critical theory. And there's this video on this that puts it very, very well and talks about the Frankfurt School story and all the details of what it is. But it's very simple. It's called critical theory. And the theory is, what's the theory? The theory is to criticize. And the reason they do this, the reason they say that we're going to criticize white people, white society, authoritarianism, fascism, what they call fascism, we're going to criticize that. That's the theory. It's critical theory to criticize. And the reason they do that is to destroy. If you criticize something, after a while, it gets into the public's mind that it needs to be gotten away with. It needs to be taken away. It needs to be destroyed. That's the whole method the Jews are using. The Jews will use any method they can to defeat us. It doesn't matter what they want to call it, you know, what method they use, communism, capitalism, Marxism, you know, Leninism, Trotskyism. It doesn't matter what you call it, they will use anything they can to get ahead. And it's not just against white people, it's against any people. They want to control everything, and they want to especially stop white people, because we're the only ones who can put a stop to them. Like
we urge people to buy the line in the sand, because the great Kevin MacDonald, does a piece in that great movie, great documentary by Byron Just, octobersomefilms.com.
The problem is for the next generation. That's when the hurt's going to come by.
Let's kick that gringo in the ass. Come on. Let's go.
It's burning. United.
They're taking over, and you're a racist pig if you resist.
Go back to Europe.
It's a war. I'm a painter. In the last 2 years, I started buying guns.
You know, make anything better by adding 30 million Mexicans to it, do you?
I'm not going to sit by on my couch and get fat while my country disappears.
Ladies and gentlemen, are you ready to hear from the founder of the Minuteman Project?
I'm going to show you an armed vigilante right here.
These are our weapons.
The reforms in immigration that have completely altered this country have been the result, really, of elite sentiment. And frankly, you know, ethnic interest group lobbying and so on.
The Democratic Party sees massive immigration, both legal and illegal, as a source of voters. On the other side, the Republican Party sees massive immigration, both legal and illegal, as a source of cheap labor.
There is absolutely no immigration law enforcement, which means we have no borders, which means we have no nation.
If we don't choose this border, again, as the line in the sand, to our own government, about what we the people demand and what we expect from the government, you might as well just check it in and make sure there's something good on TV every night and stay out of their way. Don't do anything wrong, because you won't stand a chance.
But what grabbed me over Kevin MacDonald's appearance in that DVD movie was the fact that he just comes out and he mentions and he tells about the American immigration law. And why it was changed.
That's right.
And how it was changed.
That's
and
right.
Guess what, people? The people behind it were Jews.
Kikes!
Were Jews.
The fucking kikes.
Jews. But also, he also explains the reason why they're behind it. They're afraid to be in a society of Aryans. So therefore, they went the Aryans out. They want the extermination of the Aryan race.
Yeah.
That's what these Jews want.
Yeah, the Jews cannot be in a society that has people who are racist, right? Because if you're racist, which means you're looking out for your own race, that means you're going to protect yourself from the Jews. So they keep telling you, typical Aryan, that you're a bad person if you don't tolerate everybody.
And
you've got to tolerate all the non-whites, including the Jews.
And they're the biggest racists on the planet.
They're the biggest racists of all. They are. But that's their trick, right? Their trick is to blend in and saying that you're the bad guy because you're not tolerating everybody, including us. you got to tolerate us. And now, of course, they make up this whole hoax story to get you even to feel more like you owe them something, like you got to protect them, like you got to help them. And it's all a scam. It's all a scam to get what they want from us.
The Jews say that their religion. The Jews say that their religion. They are not a religion. They are a race.
They are a race.
Masquerading as a religion.
Right.
And let me tell you, brothers and sisters, they not only are they a race, they have a disease which is prevalent to their race, and it's called Tay-Sachs disease.
Yeah.
Now, if they were just a religion, why would they have a genetic disease confined to just them? They're
right.
a race,
right.
and they've got a race disease, Tay-Sachs.
Right. If they were just a religion, it's like us. So if we became Jewish right now, all of a sudden we're going to be struck by this. You know, our kids are going to be struck by this Tay-Sachs disease because we were Jewish?
Just like the blacks.
Not just a religion.
Just like the blacks are the race.
That's right.
They have sickle cell anemia.
Sickle cell anemia.
Sickle cell anemia.
It's so, yeah.
So all this hogwash. If you're studying school, university, about but the Jews aren't a race, they're really a religion. No. Only races have specific genetic diseases.
Absolutely.
They are a race. Tay-Sachs for the Jews, sickle cell for the niggers.
That's common sense.
If the Jews were just a religion, they wouldn't be coming down with diseases.
That's right. It's biological. So they're a race.
Nature again. You can't lie to nature.
Nope.
You know, you can force feed this multicultural bullshit on us, you know, but nature always comes back and bites you in the arse.
Yeah. And what we were talking about earlier, James mentioned that we should, he encourages you, all of you, and I do too, to join any white nationalist organization that you feel comfortable with.
We don't care which one you join.
We don't care which one you join, but the point is to stand up and to get active and to help. You got to help in one, two ways. If you're not actually volunteering your labor and giving, you know, your labor to the cause, you've got to donate money. It's one of the two.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can be active or you can be a supporter by sending in money so that other people who are active can use your money to do stuff like print things and make things.
Yeah, if you got a really high paying job, then of course, you know, we would not want you to lose that job for your activities.
Absolutely not. But
we would like you to financially support us, though.
Right. And here's a big issue. You don't have this so much, James, because you didn't go through this because you were kind of raised up to be racially aware.
I was a Nazi from 16.
That's right. That's right. Which. It's a blessing as far as I'm concerned. Everybody who was raised that way, that's a blessing. But I wasn't. I was one of the ones who had my so-called awakening, right, which happened about 10 years ago.
What was your awakening? What was the overall process, the steps? What was the...
Well, it was very simple. What happened is that I saw Dr. Pierce on television, and I think it was called Hate on the Internet or something.
Well, hang on,
like that.
Even before that, go back a ways and explain, I mean, why did that Dr. Pierce broadcast at that time affect you? I mean,
that's a good point. I was, at that point, I was even looking for answers. And for years I had been looking for answers. And I think most American children and even adults that consider themselves adults, they go to college, you know, they think they're an adult, you know, because they're over 18. They're looking for answers because they're confused.
Well, what were you seeing around you at the time? What was going on?
It was a steady progress of, I guess I would call it disillusionment. And I had just grown up, and I'd grown up around all these non-whites. And even though the whole time in all these schools we were told that we're all equal.
Mm-hmm.
All the races, there's no difference, just skin color.
Skin color, yeah.
I was confused because I could see different behaviors. I could see stupidity and aggressiveness and all this violence and lack of scruples and just plain old differences I could see. And I couldn't understand, I was confused. If we were all equal, what's the problem? Well, then when I went to college, I stopped watching television. The degree I was pursuing in college...
Mm-hmm.
was so difficult that everything that I used to do, which is the standard which normal Americans do, watch television, read newspapers, I dropped all of that. So in all these years I was at college to get this degree, which was five and a half years, I had not seen television very much at all, and definitely not, you know, watch programs or read newspapers. I completely stopped reading newspapers. And then I began, because of that, I began to, what I think, well, I got to fill that time, and I was thinking on my own. So instead of having opinions, when I hear about a subject, like we're going to bomb Iraq and the Persian Gulf War and all this, I would think about things on my own, and I would go to the library and look something up. I wouldn't base it on what is the talking head on the television telling me. That's where it started, and then I progressed from what I would say as a kid, as a Democrat, I progressed to a Republican.
So hang on a minute. What you were doing at that moment, I want to get the psychology here, so people who are new or who come across us on our podcasts or through the website, I want to get the thing right here. You started to question things around you in your life. That's what started your thinking. The old thinking process moving.
I started thinking.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was step number one.
Thinking in the true sense of what the word thinking is.
Yeah. I mean, I started thinking on my own. And, see, I had never been interested in politics at all. So then the Persian Gulf War happened. Then I went from a Democrat, like I said, because I thought as a kid I liked democracy. That was so great, right? Because that's what they tell you in school. And then I thought, well, that's what I like. And then I thought I was a Republican now, because when I looked it up, I said, I like conservatism better.
Mm-hmm.
So I started thinking about that and following that. And then I got disillusioned completely later on in years with Clinton becoming president and what he believed in. And I thought, you know what? They're all shit. They're all bad. And again, at the same time, I started noticing and thinking on my own. I said, why did MTV change? Because in the 80s, when after MTV had started, it was all rock. And then at the end of the 80s and then the 90s, it all changed to this nigger music, right? Rap music, hip-hop, all this crap. And I was like, why are they changing to that? I don't like these guys. I don't like these rap stars. I don't like their culture. I don't like them, because I can see what they're doing. I know what they are. They're thieves. They're violent. Right, they're ugly, they're loud,
they're misogynist,
they're stupid,
they're misogynist lyrics.
Yeah, and all they're, you know, talking about cop killing and all this. So I said, well, I thought, you know, why is that? And in the O.J. Simpson trial, you know, I noticed that, and I said, well, look how the blacks act. There's something, you know, was starting to simmer like on the bottom of my mind about what's this about not being racial differences? Why are we all equal when I could see all these, you know, different things? That's when, again, I was disgusted. And I said, all these guys sucked, Democrats, Republicans. I looked at some other things like Libertarian, Reform Party, some other stuff, and I thought, well, this is just all shit. It all sucks. And I was still kind of what I was brought up to be and programmed to be, which is a Marxist. But at the same time, I had come to the point of a government should be more like an anarchist. I mean, I was still, you could say, under Jewish ideology, mythology, stuff, in some camp. I was still part of their...
You were still in that Judeo-centric prism.
Yes, exactly.
In that Judeo-centric
prism. Jewish matrix.
In the Jewish matrix.
I was still there. And what
you
happened
had not
was,
took the red pill.
No, I hadn't took the red pill. And I was thinking, though, there's something I want to learn more, I want to know more, I'm confused. And that's when I saw Dr. Pierce on TV, and I believe it was this thing with Tom Brokaw called Hate on the Internet. And what happened was, when they showed him and they said he was a Nazi, when he was trying to say something, I remember them cutting him off and not letting him say much, or really speaking negatively to him when he was, what I thought was reasonable, what he was saying was reasonable. And I said, why are they being so bad to this guy? And why are they saying this hate speech on the Internet needs to be banned? It's like, wait a minute, aren't we the big free speech people here? If what they're saying is untrue, if it's like Bigfoot or aliens or Loch Ness Monster or the Earth is hollow or the Earth is flat or whatever the hell you want to say, if that's what it is, if it's not true, let it go. Let it be said. Because everybody will hear it and say, it's not true. I know it's not true. You know, I mean, the rational people will. the majority of rational people will know. Well, that's not the reason that they saw. See, that's why it isn't like Bigfoot and Loch Ness Monster and all this. That's why the Holocaust denial. That's why bringing up things about Hitler and National Socialism. That's why you can't do it. Because it is not like those other things. Because when you hear it, it's not bullshit. It's the truth.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they got to suppress it. Because it's the truth. So anyway, when I heard, when, like I said, when I saw him, I went on the internet. That's when I looked him up, and I started listening to some of his broadcasts. And at first, I didn't quite believe it. It took me a little while to start to deprogram, to start to.
What was your first impression of Dr. Pace when you first a couple of his broadcasts?
Well, what
was your first impression?
He was racist. He was a hater. Bad.
Are you still in that mode?
As I said, I was still a Marxist, anarchist.
You were still in
still in the Jewish bank.
You were still in the Judeo-Deus prism.
Right, but what happened is when I listened to it and I didn't like it and I said, this is bad, he's a racist, he's evil, I thought about it. Again, because I was still, even after I was out of college for years, I still did not read newspapers and get into that because I thought it was a waste of time.
But
and I thought about it.
At this point, though, your thinking process on a political sense has kicked in. Your political process vis-a-vis your thinking process is working. That's what I'm trying to stress here. It's working, and you're thinking.
I'm thinking
in a true political way.
I don't think it's political as much as it's rational.
Well.
Because what happened is, I said to myself, this is the only reason I went back to Dr. Pierce. I heard a couple of his broadcasts, maybe even just one, before I stopped listening to it. And a couple weeks later, I was going over in my mind, and I said, you know, why am I so emotionally saying that he's so bad? It was all emotional. Even though what he was saying was true, or might have been true, I could just look it up. Like he was saying, I think at that time, the broadcast I listened to had to do with blacks being 14 times more likely to have AIDS. According to the CDC, the Centers for Disease Control, which is in Atlanta, Georgia, I will say, ask question to myself, why am I emotional? This is an irrational response here. Why am I so emotional if what he's saying true? Why do I say he's evil, hater, racist, and I have this emotional reaction?
You programmed.
I was rationally trying to get to rationalize. See, because it's an irrational response.
You were trying to deprogram yourself from the geocentric prism.
Yeah,
that's what you were trying to do.
I didn't know that. He did it because when I listened to him, I was deprogrammed.
He broke you through it?
He broke me through it, mm-hmm. But I didn't know what I was doing except that I knew I was acting irrationally.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing people got to do out there. People got to realize several things here that we're talking about. One is that this emotional response that you have, which is anti-Hitler, anti-Nazi, anti-white racism, all this stuff, it's irrational. It's an emotional response only. It's not logical. It's not rational. It's not scientific. It's not objective. If you start looking at just objective facts, science, genetics, all these things, then you realize your decision making is based on any decision making you have based on emotions is wrong. It's irrational. That's what happened to me. Like I said, I was thinking to myself, I'm not being rational here. That's when it clicked and I said, I'm going to start listening to this guy and not minding mm-hmm. that I'm getting emotional about it. Then when I did, finally it clicked that the races are not equal. And once I realized that, then I can say, okay, what else is not true? And then when you find that out, you say, well, then Hitler wasn't so bad. What else did Hitler say? And you read Mein Kampf, and that's when you really say, well, Jesus. You read Mein Kampf, and you say, I see the whole world picture now. That book is so comprehensive, and it gives such a good picture of the true world view and reality. And there's so many gems, you know, axioms of truth and fact in there that's what really, that was the tide right there. As soon as I read that book, I said, I'm a National Socialist.
So how many broadcasts did Dr. Pierce before the big click?
I don't know, but I know it was probably 2 weeks
mm-hmm.
of listening to them. and probably 2 months. That, but see, 2 weeks before I realized that that the races were not equal. And then 2 months before I realized that the Jews were a problem and that the Germans were right in what they're handling. Jews, just like all Europeans were. Every country in Europe kicked out the Jews except for Poland. Poland was the only country that did not kick out, expel the Jews. And guess what? That is why so many Jews were so harping on why they were pissed off when Hitler invaded Poland. That was one of the reasons, because that country had so many Jews in it, and again, had never expelled Jews. They were still kind of like a attachment to it.
Mm-hmm.
What you mentioned is that people should join any white nationalist, white racialist, white racist, National Socialist organization they feel comfortable with. Well, there's my next step, and here's where I say to our listeners out there, they need to be aware of this. Is that here's how I started too, is I started, well, I like this guy, Dr. Pierce, I like what he says, and I started looking into everybody. So I looked into David Duke, I'd heard of him years ago, Tom Metzger, Richard Butler, I looked on the internet, Don Black, I found all these guys and what they said. They didn't really have organizations that appealed to me, but Dr. Pierce did. So I started sending him donations and letters, totally anonymously. Then I realized that if I believed in what they were saying, then I should support them. And the only way to support them is to become a member. And they even had on their forums, hey, you can use a nom de guerre, right, which is a false name, a pseudonym. You can use that if you're afraid to join. And I don't know exactly how long it was after I had been awakened, right, which is, again, what happened when I realized the races were not equal, because Dr. Pierce, you know, had convinced me after listening to his broadcast for a couple weeks. I don't know how long it was. Maybe it was 6 months. Maybe it was up to a year that I finally said, screw it. Give him my real name. And I got over that fear of saying, you know what? They've got my real name. They are considered a neo-Nazi organization by our government, and I don't give a shit. Here's the thing, people. If you are afraid of your own government, Thomas Jefferson said this, you know when you're under a tyranny, when you're afraid of your own government. And that was the situation I realized I was in too. Again, because I was thinking about all kind of things. I was constantly questioning myself and everything, my decision making, my logic, my rationality. And I said, look, here, I'm afraid to give him my name because he'll have my name on a list of members, and the government might get that list, and now I'm afraid of my government. That's the very simple logic. And when you get to that point, you go, that means I'm afraid of my own government. This is wrong. This is fucked up. We should not be afraid of our own government. If we are, it's a tyranny. And guess what? We gotta overthrow that government. That government is not our people's government. It is not my government now. And that is what has happened. And all of you people that are afraid, you need to get over that fear, and you need to realize that and join us. And again, The more people that we have, the less they're going to be able to do, because there's too many of us. They can't jail all of us. You know, it would look obvious. And if they try to make examples out of people, which they do, like Ernst Zundel and everything, that just should prove to us more of the reason that we should join and speak out. It should encourage us more. There's no reason to be afraid of them.
Aryans are honest people, and there's an old saying, together we are strong. That's what we are, Aryan people. We are strong, but we need to come together. From that point, it's hard from... I want to tell people, I want you awake to the Jewish problem and to the racial problem and situation in our Aryan lands. Once you awake, the fear is still there, because now you know who the people are who are out to get you, whitey. So there's a fear, there is an abject fear there. Once you awake and you know, and you put the jigsaw puzzle together, once you know from that, there's still that fear. Oh my God, they're doing this to what I now believe in. That fear is still there. There's like a three-step program. We should call it the Aryan three-step program. Awake, fear, screw 'em.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That's right. And that's the way it should be. It should be, and we should mock all these terms of anti-Semitism.
Hater.
That's hate. That's the big one. We should laugh at that. And when everybody calls us a hater, it's like, who cares? Yeah, okay, I'm a hater. You know what else floats your boat? But guess what? That doesn't bother me. You can call me anti-Semite. You call me a Nazi. Guess what? I'd say, you call me a Nazi, that's a damn compliment.
Mm-hmm.
Because all the Nazis that I've read about have been great individuals. You know, I'm talking about Otto Skorzeny, Dr. Joseph Goebbels, all these guys. They are great guys. If you really know what they did, what they said, you respect them and say, you know what, I'm proud. I'm happy to be called a National Socialist or Nazi.
To quote a good Aryan that we know, we are the good guys.
Yeah.
We are the good guys.
There's no doubt about it.
ADL and Foxman and the rest of them and the British Board of Deputies of British Jews and wherever they are in France and all over our Aryan lands, these Jews are evil people.
Right.
They're the evil ones.
Right.
We're the good guys.
And even like Tony Blair, you know, for a long time I liked the guy. That was before I was awake. But I realize now that he is either under their sway, he's definitely under their sway, and he doesn't know it. That's the question mark. The question is, does he know he's such a Shabbos goy and follows their line? Or is he so brainwashed, so programmed, so in the Jewish matrix that he can't bring himself to ever speak anything bad about any Jew or Israel? You know what I mean? That's only the result of his programming.
Here's a good thing for you. These white Shabbos goy, they are in this Jewish matrix, but they don't know. If you watch the Matrix movie, they don't know that they're in this Jewish matrix.
Right.
But the Jews aren't in the matrix. They're the machines.
Right.
They're the machines, right? They pop in and out of this matrix, you know, at will.
Right.
Lord Levy, look at this evil kike on the internet, my friends. Go there. Fucking I apologize. Lord Levy, the evil Jew. He has given the Labour Party millions of pounds. This evil kike. Semitic fucking filth.
Yeah.
Look at him. Check him out on the internet.
And see, he corrupts it, right?
He's evil.
He corrupts it. But, I mean, he just shows why there are current forms of government, right, in the UK, in America, they don't work because they're all fucking corrupted. If they can be corrupted by these kikes,
the Jews are everywhere.
Then they don't work. It's like the Jews are everywhere. In the United States, the whole thing has come out now. Where the fucking neocons, right, they are the ones who twisted the so-called intelligence and fed this to the president, which is he's a moron anyway, Bush. But, for example, they call it the Office of Special Plans. And I heard somebody say this once, and it's true. If you look at any organizations with the word special in our government or extraordinary in other governments like the Soviet Union, you know, the committee for the extraordinary, you know, mm-hmm. investigation, all this stuff, the Cheka, and these guys, they're fucking by who? Who they're run by? Who created them?
Jews
did.
Jews.
Right. So the Office of Special Plans.
Yeah.
This great elaborate sounding, sophisticated, you know, special name here, this respectable name here, was simply a scam to fucking get us to get the United States to go to war with Iraq.
The one racial downside that the Jews have is that they have no humility. They are a race that has no humility.
Right.
These Jews are filthy. Filthy. Pardon my thing here, everybody, but they are. My friends, brothers and sisters, fellow Aryans, grasp this nettle of this I like to call it the Judaic centric prism, or we can call it the matrix too. It's the same thing. They're outside looking in and playing us like puppets.
Oh yeah.
And our people got to wake up and fight back.
They're playing our leaders. I mean, they're not really our leaders when they work against our interests.
They're not. They're, well, as the great Kevin MacDonald says in that great DVD, Land of Sand, I urge every white person who is listening to this show, either on our website at areamatters.com or on our podcast, to get this great DVD movie, Land in the Sand. The great Kevin MacDonald says in that movie, he comes out and says it, and you can look at the whole thing, go back and you can trace it and check out the facts. It's the Jews that are behind immigration. Yeah. They want us Aryans out the way. They want us out the way, and they want to control the mud races, basically.
That's the
as you Americans say, that's the bottom line. That is the bottom line.
Yeah.
That is the bottom line. I just want to thank everybody for joining us again at Area Matters. Don't forget, please spread our link around the internet, areamatters.com. Spread it around. We would appreciate it. We'd like more new people to come and listen to our show. Also, don't forget to, if you go to our podcast, spread our podcast around to everyone you know. All our broadcasts are free. You can download them. You can put them on CDs, give them to friends. If you're putting them on other websites, just make sure you put where they're from, areamatters.com. We don't care. Spread the word, people. Spread the word. Spread the faith. Spread the National Socialist, white nationalist faith, brothers and sisters. It's time. We've had enough. And boy, if we had enough. Thank you again. I want to thank Lee for being with me again today. Thanks, Lee.
Thanks, everybody. And we hope to see you next time.
We'll see you next time, Matters. And we'll see you next time.